I think a couple weeks ago or last week, whenever it was, we finished up with the book of Jonah. And we're going to move tonight into two smaller books of the minor prophets. First of those books on page 183 is a book of Obadiah. And the second book is a book of Nahum. I've heard some people pronounce it Nahum, and I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I don't speak Hebrew, and it may be in Hebrew. It is actually in Hebrew. It's probably even more weird than that. But we won't worry about that right now, because if we start talking too much Hebrew, then we'll be guilty of speaking in tongues. And then we'll get guilty of speaking in tongues, and Larry will never come back again. He's going to tell Louise there are a bunch of Pentecostals out there. And anyway, you know, You know this, I think. Tongues is simply another word for languages. Normal, everyday, human-spoken languages. But some people take that to an extreme and then base their entire ministry around this phenomenon. And next thing you know, in my opinion, they kind of get off course a little bit. And in case you're wondering, I would say this, that Satan can counterfeit spiritual gifts. So you got to be careful sometimes when you see certain things. But that's not the topic for tonight. So in lesson 38 and page 183, I want you to turn to the book of Obadiah. I'll give you 15 minutes to find it. It's hard to find, but if you go into the Old Testament, the minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, and then Jonah. We skipped Obadiah a couple weeks ago, and we covered Jonah. And I told you then that we're going to pair Obadiah and Nahum together since they are really short in your book. And then we'll kind of get back on track. So we're out of order a little bit by the biblical order of the books. But go ahead and turn to Obadiah, and then we'll work through what's in the book and then jump over to Nahum. So I'm going to begin with this, with Obadiah. And I'll do it for Nahum as well right now. So Obadiah and Nahum go together because they are primarily prophets whose task was to speak to and give a message from God to foreign nations. We've been through the other, well, even major prophets and these minor prophets. For the most part, they always are speaking to the northern kingdom of Israel or the southern kingdom of Judah once the kingdom divided. But you've got three of these, and we'll cover all of them after tonight, with Obadiah, Jonah, and Nahum. And they, in particular, speak to a foreign nation around Israel, not directly to Israel or to Judah. So Obadiah, as you see on the chart, is a prophet to a country named Edom. Now, we're going to talk tonight about what Edom is and show you, well, really briefly, where it comes from earlier in the Old Testament. But I want you to know here at the start that that is who Obadiah is focusing his message on, is on another world power or larger group of people called Edom. Read the first paragraph, and we'll get down to that box. So here's the context. They call this payday for the nations because these are messages now for foreign nations and not only Israel and Judah. So here's what it says. The prophets warned Israel and Judah of the coming destruction that was the consequence of their sin. Okay, that is primarily what they did. Always a message to Israel, Judah about coming judgment because of their idolatry. God had been patient. He kept loving them even when they turned to idols and forgave them again and again. But finally, God declared a payday. Now, I don't know where this line is, but it does seem like in the history of a country and sometimes in the history of an individual that a line can be crossed. I don't know what that line is. I don't think it's my prerogative or yours to choose when that line has been crossed. But I'm telling you, in Scripture, there comes a time when a line has been crossed. And the grace of God has been patient and patient and patient. A line is crossed, and at that point, it turns to judgment. Now, in some ways, that's what you're going to see in the book of Revelation. Okay, it's a grace of God the grace of God toward a rebellious people. And there's warning after warning after warning. But at some point, a line gets crossed, and then that triggers then the judgment of God, justice of God, and of course you end up with the end of time when you're in that particular book. So finally, God declared a payday. All right, Israel and Judah would not get mercy on that day. They would get exactly what they had earned. Okay, that'd be the judgment of God, day of the Lord. The payment for sin would be destruction. But now look at the third paragraph, and this is where it transitions to the other nations. The nations around Israel also refused to obey God. Now don't forget, if you look at a map in the back of your Bible and you can find Israel, the nation, don't forget you've got a lot of other nations around Israel. While Israel was bent on disobeying God and falling into idolatry, all these other nations were also turned away from Yahweh. So now what he does, he's not only going to deal with Israel, he's also going to have a message for these other nations. So the book says that the nations around Israel also refused to obey God. After God used those nations to punish Israel and Judah, he then promised that he would exact payment for their sin too. So let me try to put a little imagery up here. And I'm going, look, I'm not an artist, so just laugh, get it out your system, we'll be okay. All right, here we go. Let's just say, now this is a coastline, Mediterranean Sea over here, land. I'm just going to say Israel is like, kind of in general, and I know this ain't right, just, you got little Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, and then you got the, hot dog with a bite taken out for Dead Sea. All right. Whew, that road looks horrible. All right. It'll be okay. So this is it. Now here's what I want you to see. Here's Israel. Now remember, we had this one group of people called Assyria. We had another group of people called Babylon. And remember that Assyria comes over and attacks the northern part of Israel. Babylon comes over and attacks the southern part of Judah. And here's what God is saying. I've used these pagan peoples to punish you for your sin. Now what's going to happen? Now because of their sinfulness and wickedness, now I'm going after them to punish them for their own rebellion and sin. So that's what now Obadiah is going to start doing. So now Obadiah in particular, let me write this, I'll put it this way. And if you look on a map, you'll see these countries. But if you look on a map and look just south and southeast of Israel, you'll find three particular nations called Ammon, Moab, and Edom. This is some of the nations around Israel. You got Philistines over here, Egypt's down here. Okay, all these nations. So God says now, just as you all were kind of used in the attack of my own people, now you've also got judgment coming your way. And in particular, Obadiah's job is to speak to this nation called Edom, which is going to be to the southeast of Israel. So when your book says that after God used those nations to punish Israel and Judah, then he's going to promise payment for their sin too. Okay? And that's going to happen with Assyria when Babylon overtakes them. It's going to happen to Babylon as well with the Persians and all that. But anyway, so the point is that's what Obadiah is getting at, and he's focusing on this one called Edom. I would feel a lot better if I erased Israel. There. I feel better erasing Israel. I think little Charlotte could have drawn a better picture of Israel just now than I did. Only thing I can remember is Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, and a hot dog with a bite taken out for Dead Sea. I just can't draw it. I can remember it. So let's start working through here with Obadiah. Number one, I said this from the chart. Obadiah is a prophet to Edom. Now look in the very first verse of Obadiah. Very plainly stated, this is the vision of a man named Obadiah. Here is the message. Thus says the Lord God concerning whom? Concerning Edom. Okay, there is your answer. Who is Obadiah writing to? Who is he prophesying to? He's prophesying to this nation called Edom. Now, as Obadiah conducts his ministry, he is preaching and ministering in the exact same time frame as the other prophets. So you still have a divided kingdom. You've got a northern kingdom of Israel, a southern kingdom of Judah. And in that same time frame, Obadiah is now preaching. Now, just a couple things about Obadiah that are somewhat interesting. It's hard to date any of the Old Testament prophets, especially the minor prophets. But there is reason to believe that perhaps Obadiah is the oldest prophetic writing of your Old Testament. Now, I'm not saying that is for sure, but it is a possibility. So just throw it out there, and that way you'll know about that. The author of your book says that Obadiah was probably preaching during the days of the prophet Elisha. Now, if it were my book, I would put a question mark beside that. There are also some really good students of Scripture who believe that Obadiah may have been later than that, during the time of the exile, or even after their return from exile. So I just kind of put a question mark beside that, but that's the perspective of the authors of this book. And then the last part of that box, I like this. The message, okay, why is Obadiah preaching? What is the main purpose of his ministry to Edom? Here is his message. The message is simply to check your attitude. I think that would make a good sermon, would it not? Because we oftentimes have issues with attitude, don't we? And so maybe there's something in Obadiah for us, just as it would have been for Edom. So let's look at why that is a primary message with check your attitude. Under that box, the last paragraph on the page, it says Obadiah is the shortest Old Testament book. Okay, there's another little trivia for you. If you look in your Bible, in my Bible, Obadiah takes one page and about a fourth of a second page, only 21 verses, and that is the entire book. If you force me to memorize a book of the Old Testament, I'm choosing Obadiah. You can do Genesis, Benjamin. You do the 50 chapters. Or if y'all want to do Jeremiah, what's Jeremiah like, 52, I think? Isaiah 66. Y'all do those. Me, I'm doing Obadiah. He even like 22 or whatever verses. So Obadiah is the shortest book of the Old Testament. As the shortest book, yet again, we are reminded that it contains God's message to Edom. Now here's a question. Who is Edom? What is special about Edom? What is the connection with Edom and the rest of the Old Testament? Your book asked the question, who fathered or began the nation of Edom? Now, you can look it up, but I'm going to save you time because we don't really have time for that. Edom was founded by a man named Esau. You say, hold on now, I think I've heard of somebody named Esau before. I can't remember exactly how he fits in, but I'm pretty sure I've heard of Esau. So the next question in your book, what was his relationship to Israel, in particular Jacob? And if you go back to the book of Genesis, what you find, and you may remember this, Esau and Jacob were brothers. So if I think back in the earlier part of our book, we did a family tree for Abraham, and you've got Isaac as the father, and remember now that he has both Esau and Jacob. Now, the Bible says in the book of Genesis that Esau ends up founding a land that is named Edom. So when Obadiah is preaching to Edom, he is speaking to the descendants of Esau. Now here's what's important about Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau did not get along. Remember that there was an incident with the birthright, and old Jacob gets deceiving and ends up taking the birthright from Esau, and Esau hates Jacob, and Jacob is scared for his life and takes off running. Of course, when he comes back, he ends up with 12 tribes of Israel. God uses him to birth a nation of Israel. But this is all what happened back in Genesis. A lot of hatred, a lot of deception. They did not get along. And that continued so that throughout Israel's history, as Jacob becomes the nation of Israel, there is still animosity between Edom or Esau and the descendants of Jacob. It continues. This is the people that Obadiah is speaking to. So it's a message for Edom, who are also known or coming from Esau, and they are the people who are from Jacob's brother. Okay, that's where it kind of connects. All right, let me stop there in case you got something you want to add or share before I go on, or are we okay? It's kind of deep and a little bit confusing because we don't know all that Old Testament history that well, but that's what's going on. All right. So if Obadiah's task is a priest to Edom, then you need to ask the question, what was going on in Edom? What was so bad about Edom? And that's where we are headed next. So if you look at the top of page 184, your book says the Edomites had an attitude problem. And they did. I mean, all through the history. So in the blanks below, we're going to list the sins that God accused them of committing. Number one, do not underestimate the danger of the sin of pride. Over and over in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, remember we've said this before, that pride goeth before destruction, before a fall, whatever you want to say there. So don't underestimate the issue of pride. And I think I've said this before, but that's primarily how Lucifer got booted out of God's presence in heaven, was pride and arrogance. I want to be like God. I want to make myself like God. I want to take God's place. And you see where that, led him. So, not a good thing. So, it's pretty serious with Edom. And I want you to look in verse 3, and I'll give you an example of how bad it is. So, Obadiah's preaching to the people of Edom. And he says, verse 3 of his single chapter, he says, "It is the arrogance of your heart that has deceived you." The arrogance of your heart. Now, what you don't see in the text is the reason they were so arrogant. If you look up, again, where Edom is located, you will discover that Edom had a fortress that in the Bible is called Petra. Now, what was key with Petra is because of how raised up Petra was, and because of the depth of the moat and the slope of the cliffs around Petra, it was really, really hard to attack Petra. Now, here's what happened. Edom, since they know they are in an impenetrable fortress, they got arrogant over it. Nobody can take us down. And they honestly thought that they were like an eagle's nest perched nice and high where nobody could ever bother them. Okay, that's why Obadiah says in verse 3, "It is the arrogance of your heart that has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock," okay, because they live on this big rock here, Petra, "and the loftiness of your dwelling place," are up high on this mountain. And here's what they say, They say, you say in your heart, this is Obadiah preaching to Edom, you say in your heart, who will bring me down to earth? Okay, that's arrogance. That is pride. And just because they've got a fortress they think cannot be penetrated, their pride rises up. And they're like, ain't nobody going to take us down. And then Obadiah comes along and says, guess what? You're going down. I mean, that's a shorthand summary. And there is some potential connection in Revelation with this fortress of Petra. So, I don't know. There are so many questions there. But you will find, if I'm not mistaken, sometimes in the Old Testament, I think this is called Selah, S-E-L-A. But it's also known as Petra. So, there are some people who believe in the book of Revelation. There's no need to be guessing. I shouldn't throw it out there. But there is a place in there where they believe this becomes a place of sanctity and security for, you know, God's people on Petra. So,
where the Jews will go, you're talking about?
In
the
midst
of the tribulation?
Yeah, let me wait till I get there. I don't want to say anything that's going to be too wrong. I don't mind being a little bit wrong, but I don't want to be too wrong. Because almost everything in the book of Revelation that you try to understand, you've got potential of being a little bit wrong, right? That's called humility and trying to understand. But you are right. You will find a reference of Petra also in the book of Revelation. And again, I don't know exactly how it all plays in. I probably couldn't find it now if I wanted to, but there are some people who believe that it is in there. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to find it. So that's, you're right, Jane. There's a definite connection. I was thinking,
in ancient history, this area was used for different vowels. Alexander the Great.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right, let me get through this. I might come back to him, what you just said. Issue is pride. Why? Because of their fortress. And they think nobody can take us down. All right. But now here's the problem. What does God say about pride? So when you get to verse 4, I love this. I'm going to tell you what. The first time I ever read this in Obadiah, I thought, oh my goodness, this is, you know what, John, I just realized it'd help to put the thing back on my ear, wouldn't it? I kept wondering why it didn't sound right. All right. So now look in verse 4. So in verse 3, Obadiah says, it's the arrogance of your heart that has deceived you. You're way up high on that rock. Nobody's bringing us down. Now look at verse 4. Oh, here's what Obadiah says. Well, though you build high like the eagle, and you're way up on your mountain fortress, and though you set your nest among the stars, you can go as high up as you want to. Here's what God says. From there, I will bring you down. Huh. That sounds like fighting words. Right? Remember, wasn't it... What was the last prophet we looked at that had the message? It said, prepare to meet your God. Right? Okay, that's kind of what Obadiah is doing. Look, you can build your fortress as high as you want to, but I'm telling you something. I'm going to bring you down. Okay, that's what Obadiah's got to say to the people of Edom. So that's one issue. Now here's a second issue. The second issue is hatred of their brothers. Now who are their brothers? Well, remember I had it up here a minute ago? It's the Israelites. Now be careful. What did God say to Abraham? He made a promise regarding a people, a nation, and it says, those who bless Israel, I'll bless, and those who curse Israel, I'll curse. So now Edom is blaspheming the people of Israel with their hatred, and Obadiah calls them out for it. Let me see, where is that? Looks like verse 10. Yeah, verse 10, Obadiah says, because of violence to your brother Jacob. Okay, this is going back now to Genesis, right? Esau and Jacob, and all through their history, they're still fighting and bickering, and Esau is jealous and being hateful. Now, one thing to remember with that is when Israel was attacked. I keep needing to put stuff back up here. Remember Assyria? When Assyria came over and attacked the northern part of Israel, guess who was watching and celebrating? It was Edom. Esau. And they were so happy. So again, be very careful. Don't gloat over the destruction of your enemy too soon. Right? And I know you've got enemies because we're humans, right? I mean, you know, we all got people that stand against us and we're just not too fond of. We may not call them enemies, but we've got people like that. But I'm just going to, let me throw this out there. Just be careful how you rejoice when your enemy goes down, or when your enemy falls, when your enemy gets in trouble, when your enemy loses her job. Okay, when something like that happens. That's what Edom did. And so as Israel was being pounded by Assyria, Edom's kicked back in the recliner, watching TV and laughing about it. And said, we're so happy to see y'all going down. Why? Because they're enemies. Well, God calls them out for it and speaks of their hatred, their violence to their brother Jacob. And he says, end of verse 10, you're going to be cut off forever. They watch with delight as Israel was going down. So then what does God say after that? What's going to happen to Edom? This is the last statement to summarize Obadiah. What does Edom's future look like? If Obadiah preaches that they are prideful with their position, with their fortress, they're hateful of their brothers, they're gloating when Israel is attacked and goes down, well then what's the end look like for Edom? Well, here is the summary. For Edom, God decrees total destruction, no survivors, and they will no longer exist. And if you want to read through those verses they mark there, you'll see that. Now, let me give you this, just so you know. All right, what year did I tell you that Babylon came over and destroyed the southern part of Judah? Remember the second year I gave you? 586 BC. Now watch this. 586, they come in, destroy Jerusalem, the temple, and the walls. Hang tight. 5 years after Jerusalem was destroyed, Babylon came in with Nebuchadnezzar and destroyed Edom. And who told him it was going to happen? Obadiah. And Obadiah said, it's going to be total destruction, no survivors. And if you'll let me do this real quick, after they were destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, in whatever the year, 581, whatever the year would have been, the name died out, and the place lies in ruins today. And to latch on to something James said, I just happened to read this today. I think it was in the 300s BC when Alexander went through Edom. He made a note. Edom is still lying in ruins, even when he went through. That is Obadiah's task. That's what he says about the people of Edom. Now, my plan was fully to get through Obadiah and Nahum. It took me longer than I thought in Obadiah, but I really want you to understand what he's after there.